Father, you have pulled us from the miry clay. You have lifted us upon the solid rock. And God, I just pray that if we sing that song, it becomes more than just words. That it's a true story of our life. That we will continually praise you and continually sing of your goodness through our lives that we live. And Father, I just, even as we sing the part of that, because you're running after us. Father, as we study through Romans, we realize that you came after us. You came running after us because it was your choice to send your son. It was your choice to have him die in our place. And Father, you continue to run after us when we go astray. And God, that realization of that and the truth of that ought to just encourage us to the point where we want to go share that goodness to everyone we can. Father, as we study tonight, I pray that the heart of that song continues to allow us to just focus in on your word tonight as we study together. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. As we go through again, starting in Romans, go to Romans chapter 6. Just a quick little update or a little review as we've been looking at that chapter 2 weeks ago. And again, do thank again Jason for filling in for me. But as we look at this chapter, we realize that it's a beginning of another section. And it's a section that Paul really allows us to understand this righteousness revealed. What he did, and we saw in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, he set the foundation. Man is depraved because we are born sinners because of the sin of Adam and Eve. We have that sinful nature because of that sin, and we are not going to seek God. No one seeks God. None are righteous. So Paul set a really good foundation for the true fact that we as humans are not going to seek the goodness of God. We are not going to seek his righteousness. So we are living in a broken world because of that. And so what we see in our news today should not surprise us. I mean, there's a huge influx of questions of why do they want to destroy America? Why do they want to take us down this road? And yet we realize that they're not going to have the righteousness of God. They're not going to have the right morals. And we saw even in the verse, chapter 2 and 3, especially when he gave them up, gave those the human race up to the depravity of their minds, those who have rejected him. So we should never be surprised about the evil in our world, ever. We are only surprised because it's more prevalent in front of us because of our social media, because of our way of seeing things and knowing things. And it's never going to be fair. How many times have you heard, it's not fair? And my famous statement to my children was, life is not fair. Get a hard hat. It's not fair. Life isn't fair. There's nothing fair about life. That's why God said that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that no temptation will overcome us. And we can handle all that with him. And the with him is the key. Because as we go through Romans, we can see that concept that with him has to be the foundation of our hope. With him has to be the foundation of us going through everyday life of this journey. Because one day, and all of us have the opportunity to wake up in the morning and leave God behind. And I venture to say that all of us have done that thus far this week. Sometime during our day. We just got so busy. We just took off and we just started the day. And we started making decisions and we started doing things and we started working or we started trying to accomplish things in our life. And then all of a sudden, it's not working quite as well as it used to. And then it dawns on us, you know what? I left God alone. I forgot to bring him with me today. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Because as we ended last time we met with me speaking 2 weeks ago, we ended there going down just through the first few verses of chapter 6 and ending, I believe, there at 4 when we were buried with him in baptism to death, unto death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead of the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. And the key phrase in all that is the newness. Because when you look at that word in the newness of life, and in the Greek, the word there, newness, speaks of a life that has a new or a fresh quality. It's not just a things are going to be different now. No, this is a transformation. This is the caterpillar to the butterfly move, you know. This is like a major deal. And that's why the rest of Scriptures points to the fact that we need to be walking in the Spirit of God. We need to be living in the Spirit of God. We need to be showing the Spirit of God in our life. Why? Because there's a major transformation that took place. And you have anybody ever seen the butterfly go back into the caterpillar? Even nature knows you don't go back. We don't even know that. We haven't learned that lesson yet. Even nature knows you don't go backwards. So this transformation, it's called sanctification, the big word. And that concept of sanctification began at the time we accepted Christ. And it doesn't stop. In fact, it's interesting when you look at the following verses, 5 through 11, but we're not going to obviously look at all those. In fact, it goes all the way down to the end of the chapter. We're just going to look at the first few and getting ready for this. But when you look at this section, verses 5 through 23, all the way through, what we see is the attitudes that we need to carry to continue the sanctification process, to continue to remain the butterfly instead of trying to flip back into being the caterpillar. And I want you to get that visual, because with that visual, I would be very nervous to see a caterpillar with wings flying away, okay? Because that's what most Christians look like. They don't transfer all the way back to the caterpillar, but there'll be enough bad in them that the caterpillar shows up with the butterfly wings. Because we like to play half and half. So you're either a full butterfly, you're a caterpillar with wings, or you're a complete caterpillar. That's a really weird analogy, but it works, right? Every time you see a butterfly flying, you're going to remember I said this. Or a caterpillar, you're going to remember this. Because that's what our lives depict. So in order for us to take this transformation, it's a new quality of life. Christ did not get resuscitated, and he was the same person when he died, when he rose. Because he bore the sins of the world in between that. And if he would have just been resuscitated, he still would have had the sins of the world on his shoulders. He wasn't resuscitated. He died. And the verse 5 says, or verse 4 as we read, that we should walk in the newness of life because of Christ was raised up from the dead. He died. He got that new life. He got that new quality of life. Now for Christ, let's stay in theology. Christ went back to what he was before he took the sins of the world on his shoulder, because he was without sin in the beginning. He never was that sinful person. So he went back to what he always was before he voluntarily gave up the use of his attributes and came as a babe in a manger. He was God, and he went back to that. You and I, we have nothing to go back to. That old nature, that old man, it is dead. It is gone. We have a new quality of life to live. But the word sanctification is added into that simply because we still have a sin nature. When we are looked at as being dead, buried with him, raised to the newness of life as the illustration of our salvation, we didn't lose that old man. It just became powerless because of the quality of life that God gave us. But sometimes we resurrect that old man. Sometimes we get that guy going again. So because we still have this sin nature, sanctification is a lifelong process that God is using to let you and I become more like the image of his Son every day of our life. And we're not going to have that image until we stand before Him in glory. On earth, it's a work in process. And I love that. Because if anybody, I've talked to a few people that when they first talk about who they are and they talk about their spiritual life and they talk about all the ministries they're doing, man, they've arrived. They're there. And you can't teach them anything. You can't tell them anything. They've arrived. You know what I like to do with those people? Y'all just leave. I don't want to deal with you. No. Nobody has arrived. Every one of us are a work in process. Some are a little further down the road. Some aren't quite so far. That's okay. It's like anything else in life. Life is a journey. Keep walking. Keep moving forward. You take a couple steps back because you made a mistake. Take a couple steps forward. Keep moving. God knew that we would make mistakes. God knew that we would sin. God knew that we would choose wrong. He knew that. That's why it's called sanctification. Set apart. A work in process. Going to become the image of my Son. And that image, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what I look like perfect. I'm not going to see that until I get to heaven. Period. Nobody has arrived. That's why every day you can't go your day without taking God with you. Because any one of us, and I'll tell you, there's testimony after testimony of missionaries and pastors and professors who are full-time ministry people who know the Bible well, fall to immorality. Because they forgot to take God with them one day. And they made that choice and destroyed everything. Listen, we're all there. How dare anyone look at someone's life and say, wow, at least I'm not that. By the grace of God, you're one choice away. One choice away. Nobody's arrived yet. And I love the way Paul brings this out to the group of people that he's writing this letter to. Because they thought they have arrived because they were part of the descendants. They were part of the chosen. They were part of obeying the law. Paul says, you're just as rotten as the next guy. I couldn't find that exact wording in Scripture, but I know that's what he said. You're just as rotten as the next guy. And that's the truth of it. We all are. And no one has arrived. No one is better above anyone. No one is better. So this whole concept, we're looking at the attitudes of sanctification or the attitudes you and I need to live with or have in our life so that the process of becoming more like Christ works. So when we see that in verse 5, we see that we're planted together in the likeness. And again, this planted together in the likeness basically is it comes to that, and I don't think it, some translations when I studied through this said, well, even the King James, for if. That's a very poor translation. Very poor translation. There is no if. I am planted in with Christ. Since I have been. If's the wrong one. Since. Since I have been planted. And because I have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That means I can live a life on earth because I am. Since I have been. I am planted with Christ's death, my old man's dead. And then a future in heaven, we will basically also be a part of his likeness of his resurrection. Either you're going to die or the trumpet's going to sound, but we're all going up. If you know Christ, you're going up. That's the likeness of his resurrection. And so that's our hope, isn't it? I mean, every day we wake up, we're going to face brokenness. We're going to face people who aren't wrong and evil. We're going to face decisions that we're not sure what the right one. We're going to live in this world. But the whole process is, okay, how do I need to live? What do I need to have in me that's going to make this work? I know that I am planted in Christ. I'm planted in his death. Therefore, my old man's dead. I am going to also be planted in his resurrection likeness. Therefore, I'm going to be in heaven someday. But what about the in-between? What about since the day I've accepted Christ to the day I stand before him? We call that the dash between your dates on your tombstone. the dash, your life. What do I do? How do I live? That's what the rest of this is going to tell us. So it's interesting as we see this. First of all, we see in verse 6, we see the first one. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the first thing we see in this as an attitude, we've got to come to a reckoning. We've got to come to a mindset. We've got to come to a choice that says, I can do this. I can quit this. I don't have to talk like this. I don't need those things anymore. It's a reckoning. We got to come to an understanding and a realization that this man's dead. This old man has nothing. And again, I the translation that the King James has in there, destroyed, is not a good translation. Because that says, I don't have a sin nature in me. I don't have the ability to sin anymore. I can just go have fun. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's not destroyed. The Greek word there basically states that it becomes powerless. It has no effect anymore in your life. You see, that's what that verse would simply say when it goes on in verse 6, that sin might have no effect, that henceforth we should not serve it. You see, for you and I who know Christ, sin is a choice. For those who don't know Christ, it's a life. It's just what they do. Now, they know the moral right and wrong. Obviously, the worst sinners know that it's wrong to kill somebody. They have a moral understanding. That's chapter 1 and 2. That's when God gave them enough to understand. That's when God put inside the heart of every one of us a moral ethic that knows right and wrong. Sinners don't have to. I mean, they grew up as babies talking back to mom and dad just like you saved people do. Talking back to mom, they grew the same way. They understand the moral right and wrong, but they don't understand the spiritual. You and I have no, that sinful man should have no effect on us. We choose. We choose. The powerless of the old man now becomes the new quality, the newness. The new quality is, I am now powered by the Spirit of God. Old man powerless, new man powered. That's walking in the Spirit of God in Galatians. That's how we walk in the Spirit, in love, gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, patience. That's how we do it, to know that the old man's powerless, new man's powered. We got to have that power. We got to get into that power. So the first concept of this understanding is this reckoning, this understanding that this man, the old man, has made no effect. It goes on to explain a little bit more in verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. When that old man is gone, when that old man is dead, it now no longer has a grip on you. It no longer has the ability to say to you, you have no other choice. You have no other option. As a child of God, we live our life by choice. Everybody lives their life by choice, right? How many times do you realize, or how many times have you heard that, well, because they did this, that's why I did it. And we become blame shifters. Adam was perfected that right off the get-go when he blamed God for creating the woman that gave him the fruit. And we've been doing it well ever since. The first thing about reckoning is responsibility. Take responsibility for your choice. Don't blame it on something else or someone else. You make the choice. When that car cuts you in the middle of the road, and you're honking the horn and getting mad, you didn't get mad because he cut in front of you. You got mad because you have an attitude. Anger is a secondary emotion. They didn't make you mad. You made you mad. You had a choice. You could have just put the brakes on and said, okay, it's your space. Go ahead. No problem. I don't do that as often as I should. Just saying. That's a tough one for me. Don't you cut me off. Anyway. As I traveled 10 hours Sunday and had a low. Anyway, appreciate your prayers for safe travels because we made it. When we look at this reckoning and understanding, first of all, that the old man is dead, new man powered. We basically are freed from it. First part of that is taking responsibility for your choice. You choose to do, to say, to go, to have attitude. You choose it. And every human on earth has a choice. Some are powered by the old man. Some are powered by the new man. Which one is stronger is one you're going to be flipping out there. And that's the important part. That's why we don't resurrect. Don't give this old man any power. Because in the power of this old man, you're not going to make the right choice. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to go the wrong places. You're going to do the things that you shouldn't do. Why? Because you've powered the old man instead of powering the new man. And that's the difference that Paul's teaching all through this. So the reckoning starts with a responsibility of your choice. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And again, that verse 8 is very important. As the old man was crucified, verse 8 basically says the same thing as verses 5 through 7, but it says it in a different way. Knowing, verse 9, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, in that he liveth unto God. Basically, we need to reckon and reason out with our minds. We're not going to lose our salvation. This is not about losing salvation. This is about losing fellowship. This is about making choices that we shouldn't make because we have not let the powerless remain powerless. We give life to the powerless by not taking God with us every day. When we live in a life where we don't bring God, it goes like this. And this old man becomes powerful. Again, we didn't do anything to give him any life. We didn't do anything to encourage him. We didn't do anything to bring him up power, except not power the new man. It's one of the, I like them slinkies. You ever play them slinkies? You know, you push this hand up and it all goes this side. Push this hand up and it all goes this side. My ADD, boy, I can have fun with that, man. I play with that thing all day. That's the same thing we do with the old man, new man. When you push that old man up, man, it's going to win. It's going to win. You got to keep the new quality of life. You got to give it breath. You got to give it power. And that only comes by spending time with God. So when that is power, that's home, that's bigger. Listen, all that junk can't get thrown back up there until you throw it up there. Then all the junk comes back. And it's the slinky junk. There's another little illustration in your mind to roll with. The slinky junk. I'll probably get kicked off Facebook because I used the term. Anyway, that's a whole other sermon. When we see what they're saying in verse 10 and 11, 11 says the same thing. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead. That's the first principle. Reckon yourself. To reckon yourself to be dead. Basically, it's very important. Intuitive knowledge. It's to reckon, to know, to not live that way. But we need to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the verse. That's the verse that will power the new man. Verse 11. Reckon. Realize, reason in your mind is the Greek word there for reckon. Reason in your mind. When you've got that choice to make, you know what? You can say, you know what? I don't have to do this. I don't need this in my life. I don't have to say this, go there, be that. I don't need those friends. I don't have to. You reason in your mind. You reckon. Why? And it explains it in the rest of the verse. Because I'm dead to that sin, and I want to be alive unto God. And the only way that's possible is through Jesus Christ. Now, interesting, you know the verse well, and it'll come up again as we study through this. But look at verse 23 of the same chapter. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's the same phrase used back in verse 11. I am going to reason in my mind that I am dead to this sin. I am alive unto God. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe you have to go through the cross to be saved, you've got to believe that you've got to go through that same cross to continue your salvation. Sanctification. We don't add to our salvation. It's a done deal. You've got to go through Christ. You've got to bring him into your life every day. You can't live life without him. Through him, you will be alive unto God. And I think that's the whole message that Paul's trying to get to in this point, this important part and understanding this reckoning. And again, is this dead to sin. So we're gonna stop right there because we don't have enough time to develop the next one. But as we look at this, we're going to see, again, the first one is reckoning. We have to have a reasoning within our mind to always remember that I am dead to this. I don't need this. I don't have to have this. And the only way that I'm going to keep my sanctification, keep the process moving forward to look like the image of Christ is only through him. Same way our salvation is, through him. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we go into the Bible. You know, I've been told all my life, you need to read your Bible every day. You need to pray every day. Well, that got to be old ritual. That got to be old, just I'm doing it because I'm told to do it. And then I become a pastor. And then I had to do it because I had to have something to study, right? I had to have something to preach. You know, and Brother Cliff, you know how hard it is for a pastor to have their own personals? Their own. Every time I get in here for my own personal life, before I'm done, it's a message. It develops into a message. But I like it that way. You know why? Because then the messages come from here, not from here. That's the difference. Some people can preach from here. Everyone ought to preach from here. Because if it's affected me that way, I can just imagine God allowed it to affect me that way because there's other people who need to be affected that way. And see, that's what God's plan is. And that, I'm telling you, through Christ is how we continue this process until we die. Then there is no more sanctification because you already are in the likeness of Christ raised to the newness of life. We're just down here practicing for that. We need more practice. We all need a little bit more practice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this study. And God, I pray as we continue to just allow this to penetrate our minds and our hearts. And Father, we love to reason. We love to understand in this great day of modern technology and the knowledge that is at our fingertips. And Lord, this is probably one of the very pivotal studies as we continue through the book of Romans to realize that it is very important that we take this and realize that we need a reason in our mind that, you know, well, we're dead to that. We don't need that. We cannot let the world dictate what we need and what we have and what we don't. God, you've promised to give us all that we need. It's when our wants get in the way that we question that. And Father, I pray as we study this together that you continue to give us that open heart and that open mind and that spiritual discernment to know that we need to leave that old man powerless. And Father, we just thank you for that in your son's name. Amen. All righty.